Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Welcome back. Sports to the Max. Twins tomorrow night. Taking on the Texas Rangers. Down in the heat of Texas in July. It's about as hot as it gets, I think. I can't remember. Do Stadium have retractable rooftops, E? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think they do now.
Okay. Like Houston. We'll have it here. Excuse me. We'll have it here for you at WCCO. Benita and I will talk about it tomorrow, 7:40 and 8:40. Derek Chauvin got 21 years to be served concurrently for a federal trial today. I don't think most people were even aware that he was going to get another verdict today. And I think a lot of us get confused. It's that, well, I thought he was already in prison for a long time. Joining us, Mike Padden from the Padden Law Firm on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And, this one didn't have the fanfare as it did when he was convicted, of course, the first time that put him away locally. And Mike, first of all, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mike. Nice to talk to you.
Last time I was visiting with you was via text, and you said, did you see the walk-off? You were at the game last week when Buxton hit the walk-off home run.
Oh, that was so fun.
Was that fun?
Oh, man. You know, Mike, I've been at a lot of really cool pro baseball games, but that was about as cool as it gets.
Oh, yeah. Here he comes, Mighty Casey at bat, and with one swat, he changes everything, right?
But not just that, Mike. It was Arise's bat before that where he fought off a really good relief pitcher. And it was just an amazing at bat, and the kid got a hit. I love Arise.
Yeah, oh, boy, he's fun to watch. And if you really appreciate baseball, you appreciate Luis Arise. Okay, so explain the Chauvin thing to me. Obviously, you can add a little bit to it. He didn't get life in prison, which I guess would have been the ultimate. But explain why you try a guy twice, federal, state, civil rights, violated civil rights, et cetera, as opposed to just having one trial and putting a guy away for however long it is.
Well, normally, Mike, in situations where police officers cause serious bodily harm or kill somebody, the feds usually let the state authorities handle that. Federal law permits a charge for violation of civil rights, and generally that's available in case things don't go well with the state prosecution. The feds will step in and make sure there's some form of justice. That's kind of the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
Here, this case had become so notorious, Mike, that the federal government felt they needed to be involved too, because the result in state court was a very good one. The Attorney General Ellison's team had really gotten a good result, which I think, all things considered, was the appropriate, fair result, although a significant result for the unintentional taking of life. But I think this case, it's just become so notorious, Mike, that the federal government felt they needed to be involved. And frankly, I understand that, you know.
Did they make that decision after the state had put him away, or did they make it before?
No, I think they made it after, Mike. Yeah, I think they made it after. And you know, the essence of it, Mike, is people might be thinking, okay, well, this is running concurrent, which means, you know, at the same time, he got hit with 22 and a half years by Judge Cahill for his conviction under state law. and then 21 years. So people might be thinking, does it really matter? Well, yeah, it does, because he's going to end up with more time, because under federal law, Mike, he has to serve 85% of that sentence, and under state law, he only has to serve two-thirds. So he's looking at 15 under state law, but with this additional sentence, he's looking at, I don't know, 17 years plus for the 21 years, you see. So
yeah, I see. So he added 2 years basically for sure at minimum to his sentence.
Correct. Yeah, that's really what it comes down to, right?
So what do you tell him going into something like this? He made a statement saying he hopes the best for George Floyd's children or whatever. I mean, how vocal do you allow him to be in this case, or is there a standard rule of thumb, or is it based on the personality of your client?
Well, Mike, it's understandable he didn't say anything after he was – he didn't say much in any event.
No.
When he was sentenced by Judge Cahill, but that was a little bit different because he was still facing a charge. Here, I got to tell you, it's a little surprising he didn't say something more substantive, because the chapter's finally closed on the Derek Chauvin case, okay? So it's just bizarre. I mean, I think he said something like, if I read this right, something about Floyd's kids. He hopes that they have excellent guidance and become good adults. It's just weird.
Yeah, it was a weird statement. I didn't quite get it. I didn't know the context of it. I didn't know if he was asking. I didn't pick up on it, but there was no apology that I read. It was just, I hope you guys are okay. I don't know.
It's just, this guy's a weird cat, Mike. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, he really should have at least apologized, and then, even Judge Magnuson, he pointed out, which, of course, everybody has been saying all along, and I'm quoting Judge Magnuson, to put your knee on a person's neck until they expire is simply wrong. Your conduct was wrong, and it is offensive. Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody – I'm glad he said that, because that's what everybody's been thinking since day one. But the thing about this, Mike, even though it was not the intentional taking of life, to kill somebody in this way, it's almost like it's a slow torture, you see.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that reverberated with the American public.
Yep.
Not just people who are anti-cop, but even people who are pro-cop, and even good cops.
Yes.
Frankly, were very upset about
it. It's as if I'm saying I have the power to do whatever I want to you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that was the perception of a lot of people on both sides of the aisle, or wherever they sit on this. Now there are two pending cases. One where, a young man, now an adult, says that he did this, applied the same thing to him during an altercation as well. Do those cases get do they have more juice because of what happened today? Does it matter more? I know Bob Bennett's representing one of them. What happens in those cases? I assume that they want a monetary settlement from the police department, right?
Yes. 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 I think you might be referring to the 14-year-old that allegedly. Yeah. Yes, definitely. But the real question I think everybody has is if he had done this to a 14-year-old in 2017, why was he still on the force? You see, that's the problem with this agency. They don't police their own. And that's, of course, evident here. I mean, he apparently had his hands around the kid's neck and then wailed on him with a flashlight. I mean, if you do that to a 14-year-old, assuming you're not defending your life or something, and obviously he was charged with violation of the kid's civil rights, so they don't just do that willy-nilly. He should not have been on the force, Mike. You see, that's the thing that's frustrating to people is it's just clear that this agency has a history of not policing their own, and that's evident. I mean, I pointed this out in my book too, so
but is it also a case where the 14-year-old didn't bring it up until he saw him later, so therefore his superiors, meaning Chauvin's superiors, maybe never were aware of it?
It's a fair point, Mike. I don't know, but I mean, it seems to me that somebody would have had to have known. I would think that he would not have done that without any officer witnesses. But it's a fair point, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there must have been an internal affairs investigation. How did they know about it? I don't think it just came up recently, So I don't know, Mike. It's just frustrating. I mean, I, along with a lot of other people, I mean, look, I have a case where I represent a family of a young man who was killed by a police officer who, you know, years before had strangled a black man to death, and he was still on the force.
And basically, anytime there's something that's that severe, there's going to be an internal investigation, right? I mean, that would trigger it if there's any death or anything that you would consider to be torturous or anything that you would consider to be a physical altercation. There's going to be an internal affairs investigation, right?
Yeah. And I mean, look, the Minnesota Department of Human Rights just did an amazing investigation headed by Commissioner Lucero that pointed these things out. I mean, I'm not just some guy popping off here. I mean, the DOJ investigated him back in 2014 or 2015. That was a bad, I mean, you know, saying stuff like, you better change your ways or something really bad's going to happen. I mean, talk about prophetic, you know. So, yeah, it's a tough situation, Mike. It's a broken agency, and something has to get fixed. I don't know if it's fixed yet, but this whole Chauvin thing has been really a mess, and you know, probably has become arguably the most highest profile excessive force case in not only U.S., but probably world history.
Right, world history, yep. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay, so can I test your international law a little bit here? This is a sports international law question, okay? And if you don't know the answer, I understand, because
I might not.
Okay, Brittany Griner pleaded guilty today. To the charges that she was carrying the cannabis and the illegal substance into Russia. And so there was a lot of talk about, you know, 10 years or more, et cetera. And so she pleaded guilty and then said it was by accident. She didn't realize she had packed it, et cetera. Tell me how that strikes you in a Russian. Any idea why you would plead guilty? I assume that there's some advantage to that in a Russian court or either that or she knows how they're negotiating in the U.S. Why would you do that?
I think because probably the people who are representing her in Russia have worked out some kind of arrangement with the Russian government. Look, Mike, I think it's clear that what's happening there probably has some political ramifications in light of the invasion of Ukraine and whatnot, but she did that for a reason, and presumably, have they talked at all about sanction yet, Mike? Or
no,
I was stuck in court all day, so
no.
So all she did was plead guilty, correct?
She pled guilty and gave the reason, and she said the reason was that she did it and didn't realize it. That was the only thing that I saw that came out of it.
Okay, well, yeah, she probably did that because they have some sort of an arrangement, Mike. You know, so, you know, who knows? It might have something to do with some kind of a deal where, you know,
you admit to it and then we'll trade off a prisoner or something.
It wouldn't surprise me, sir.
Let me ask you one more. I don't know if you're up to speed completely on this or not, but it's not really a legal case, but I don't know if it is or not. And that's, you know, the wild Kirill Kaprizov. It looks like, you know, Russia's making overtures about the Russian stars that are over there, maybe investigating their, you know, how they applied for or got out of military duty, whatever it was. There's concern that, you know, the star of the Minnesota Wild could be held up in Russia. Now, we had Brian Lawton on, who's very well informed. He says that's not a concern. He doesn't think that'll happen. Does that strike you as gamesmanship? How does that strike you on an international front? And if you had a client over there, would you say, hey, you get on U.S. soil as quick as you can?
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
You know, Mike, it's politics now, and, you know, look, you know, Kaprizov, he seems like he's a really nice young man. I mean, when the invasion of Ukraine happened, I don't think there was one person in the state had any animosity toward Kaprizov.
No.
You know, I mean, what the hell? I mean, yeah, Mike, the problem you get into in situations like this is the politics of it, you know, and that's a difficult thing. You know, there was that famous movie where the guy got busted for hashish. I can't remember the name of it. And he ended up in a Turkish prison for years, but you know, he picked the wrong time to have hashish on his person because there were people blowing up planes. You see,
yep. So,
you know, that was political too. And you know, the bottom line is when you leave this country, you better be really careful what you do, you know? I mean, here, possession of weed, a small amount of weed, a petty misdemeanor, it's not even a crime. But in other countries, that might be a problem for you. So, you know, the bottom line is you really got to be careful to not get in trouble when you leave the good old USA, you know.
Mike Padner, I guess. Mike, one more this, and I know that as a former athlete yourself, a Division I athlete at that, a basketball player, you're seeing this NIL term and NIL money coming out now. And this is more a question to you as much as a former college athlete as it is an attorney. The rule says that you cannot guarantee a kid NIL money. They have to be on campus first, then they have to strike a deal with whoever would, endorsement they could get or whatever it is, or whoever they could be a spokesperson on, all those things. But we all know if you want a kid, you better have some figures out there, some money that you think they can make. How does this deal, this whole ruling strike you, and what is your biggest concern or worry as we get into the money side of sports for college athletes?
Well, first of all, Mike, I'm supportive of college athletes making money on endorsements, and it's not just me. Even Coach K has been vocal about that, and if somebody like him is supportive of it. College sports has become a huge multi-billion dollar industry, and not every kid that goes into college and is successful makes it in the pros, Mike, so I don't have any problem with that. The problem is, from my perspective, is the potential abuse that can happen here. It's really good. They're really going to have to police this closely.
Oh my gosh, is there potential, huh?
Yeah, not to mention when you're dealing with new rules like this, Mike, it's just the nature of rules and laws. There's going to be ambiguity because the English language is ambiguous. You see, you can have the simplest law. That's why for Americans, we can't just read the law. We have to. This is one of the reasons why lawyers are a necessary evil, is because the statutes themselves don't, you have to have case law that interprets statutes, you see. My worry is the potential for abuse, but as a general proposition, the idea of athletes making money, college athletes, is not a problem for me at all.
What's going to be interesting is to see how they do it, and it's going to be interesting to see what markets step up and what are the ideal markets for kids. I think the sweet spot's going to be the college towns, the places where it matters a lot, because as you and I both know, and you're a product of that, you get the right, there's some really, really successful businesses and business people in those towns that can afford to make contributions. Whereas here, they're more philanthropic, and yes, you have Fortune 100 companies, but they say, yeah, I'll give money, but maybe not to an athlete.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, Mike, look at SC and UCLA are coming into the Big Ten. Now, the reason for that is because of one thing, money,
Oh, yeah.
Look, if it helps the Big Ten, great. I mean, if RAD and PJ Fleck are supportive of it, if it's a positive thing for the Big Ten and for the Gophers, I'm all for it. Look, Northern Illinois, my alma mater, they really do well too because they play on ESPN all the time.
Sure.
They get those time slots on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and they're competitive games, high scoring. ESPN loves them. So, I'm all for it. But I just think the notion of young people getting some compensation when they're making other people in universities millions, tens of millions, and hundreds of millions of dollars, I think is only fair, from my perspective.
Michael, appreciate it very much. Thanks for giving us some time. Always enjoy it.
Always enjoy it, Mike. Thanks, sir.
You bet. Mike Padden from Padden Law Firm on a number of different topics, but Derek Chauvin sentenced today federally, 21 years, and as Mike pointed out, the big thing is it's a minimum of probably 17 years versus 15 years with the previous sentence. So for whatever that's worth, we'll talk more about it when we come back. Sports for the Max at WCCO. Welcome back, Sports for the Max. Cooley to Arizona, the future Gopher. Still waiting on the Minnesota Wild. They're still a few picks away before they go 19th overall. Two picks in the first round. So we'll see what direction they go with it. Marc-Andre Fleury did reports that he came to terms with a two-year deal to remain with the Minnesota Wild. There was some talk as to whether or not how much he would entertain the open market. I would think that he would only go to a select group of teams. Even though he's a free agent, he was only going to go somewhere where he thought he'd have a chance to win. And I would think that the body of work was probably good enough in St. Paul to encourage him, even without a Kevin Fiala, to extend it. Either that or he didn't get the offers that he thought he would from the contending teams, but he basically held all the cards because he could just retire if he wanted to. So the Wild sealed that deal for two more years, which tells you a little bit more about where they sit. They're still going to have to make a move or two, probably, but they're going to have to be small deals to try to pick up some more offense. I don't know where they go to get that. I don't know what kind of who's available out there, et cetera, because I'm not that plugged in on the inside of it. But they still could use a little bit more consistent offense. Because here's the thing about Fiala. There are people that say, well, he got shut down in the playoffs, and he did. You know, small body, I don't know. But you need a guy during the year, and he demonstrated as much as anybody in the history of the Minnesota Wild, that you need a guy that can carry you for a week or two from time to time, maybe when you're not scoring goals, maybe when you're winning 2-1, et cetera. You need a guy that can be the guy, and not just your star Kaprizov. You need somebody else that can be the guy once in a while, that can carry you for periods of time just to get you through it. And Fiala was that guy, and there are very few like him in the NHL. And there's a lot of guys, you know, maybe if it's their best player, but not their second best. And he was able to do that, and I don't know that they can find somebody to fill that void. So we'll find out. Wild on the clock. We'll let you know if they make a pick here while we're doing business. When we come back, I know Kerry Sutherland very well. He's the general manager of Lifetime Fitness in St. Louis Park. He's the assistant basketball coach at Hopkins High School. I've known him for 25 years. His son has become his own celebrity, Justin Sutherland. One of the great chefs, and he's won the competition, and he's been on the TV shows and all those things. And he almost lost his life the other day in a boating accident. Kerry will explain, certainly a life-changing experience and room for pause in what they're doing about it when we come back. A father speaks of what his son's near-death experience on the other side. Stay with us. NHL draft. I think all you really care about is, you know, local connections, etc. Logan Cooley goes number 3 overall. He's a centerman destined to play for Bob Motzko and the University of Minnesota. But he did go to Arizona, a team that's in dire need of help at a lot of positions. So I don't know if there's any outside chance that he never gets here. He grew up in the Pittsburgh area. But certainly Bob Motzko has him penned in as a guy that would step right in and be a high-impact player. Jimmy Snuggerud, another one that's on the board from Chaska, Minnesota, his father Dave Snuggerud. I think his uncle Bo Snuggerud had a pretty good hockey player and football player as well. And he's in the Chicago Blackhawks system, I believe, at last that I checked. But anyway, he's projected to go maybe late in the first round. The Wild have 2 first-round picks. We will keep you up to speed on that as well. And, and away we go here with a night dominated by hockey in the middle of July only in Minnesota. Now, I got to tell you, I mentioned I was in Colorado the last several days, and they are still celebrating the Stanley Cup. And if you watch the news, it's almost like where was the cup today? You know, and they break out some phone video that somebody sent them and via text they found on Twitter, and it made an appearance at the, you know, Ruby Tuesdays in Littleton or something. You know, so-and-so brought it in, or they were at a concert, and all of a sudden somebody broke out the Stanley Cup. Eric Johnson from Minnesota, another, you know, top-end pick from Bloomington, is a veteran on that team, and he was involved in their coverage. I was watching that he had done a signing at like a Dick's Sporting Goods, and the lines were long. And then the news crew talked to him about what it was like, and he says it's kind of like you win the Stanley Cup every day because there's another celebration someplace. You know, they had him out at Coors Field to do the first pitch, and then they had him here and they had him there. But he says it's almost like every day you win the Stanley Cup again, because of the cup and its significance and the way that they travel with it, and they take it different places, and you know, something happens, and they're just celebrating their championship. And anyway, it got me thinking. You look at Denver, obviously the Broncos have won it a couple times over the years with John Elway, and the Avalanche won it a couple times. And you go, where does Minnesota fit in all this? Where does Minnesota fit? And then they mentioned, and I had forgot about it, but they mentioned, and what a spring here for hockey in Colorado. DU wins a national championship in college hockey, and now the Avs win it, the Stanley Cup. Oh, what a spring here in Colorado. And going, Colorado's not a warm state, but they shouldn't be dominating hockey like that. I mean, this is Minnesota. Do we ever get a run like that, a little something? You know. Maybe someday, but not today. And it kind of bothers me that other states get that. Kerry Sutherland is a guy that I've known for a long time on a lot of different levels. We talk a lot of basketball. Over the years, he's an assistant coach at Hopkins. He's also the general manager of the number one Lifetime Fitness in Minnesota, and that's the one in St. Louis Park. But today we bring him to you as a father. His son, who you know is one of the great chefs of national fame, had more than a close call on Sunday when he fell off the back of a boat and made contact with a propeller in a very strange situation where, I mean, everything had to be perfect for this to happen. And Carrie's been going back and forth to the hospital since then. They had an event for his son today, Justin, and Carrie is nice enough to join us now. Carrie, first of all, our thoughts and prayers with you, and your family. And for your son, and for your wife, and for your, and for his brothers and sisters, you know, all the people in your family. Take us through what these last few days have been like for you, because there was quite an outpouring of support today. But take us through what life has been like for your family as people have watched your son and your entire family go through this.
Yes, yeah, Mike, it is. It's been a tough couple of days, but you know, again, first of all, thank you and. You know, thank you for having me on. Thank you for your friendship over the years through sports and just through, you know, fitness. You're definitely a fitness addict.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of done life together, man. We've been in the same places at the same time, you know?
Yep. And now I'm getting a chance to watch your kids go through sports.
Yeah.
So that's been fun.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So as far as, you know, what it's been like over the, you know, last few days, it was, you know, it was really horrific, right? I mean, it's, you know, you get this call that your son's in this boating accident, that he was struck by the propellers on a boat. And, you know, I was actually just flying back into town. So it was 4 hours from the time that I learned about it to the time I could get to him.
Oh, boy.
And it was a long, long flight, and it was a long drive to the hospital just to, you know, get a chance to see my son. But, it was tough. It was really tough. But the beautiful thing about it is what you mentioned, the outreach, the folks that are reaching out, the love and support that's been shown is just really uplifted him, I know, and it's definitely uplifted the family. So that's been amazing.
So you get the call, and what happened was, as it was explained to me at least, was he's in a boat, his hat flies off, he bends over to grab the hat, which he wasn't going to follow the boat, but it hit a wave at the exact same time, and he falls in, and the propeller hits his head, correct?
Yes, that's correct. He went to reach for his hat as it was blowing off his head, and he was knocked out of the boat. And, it struck his head, it struck his face. Broke his arm, jaw. It was. So he's been wired up. His mouth has been wired shut. His head is, is severely damaged. But you know what? It could have been a lot worse, and he's definitely going to make it through this.
What's it like to communicate with him when he can't talk? You know your son well enough that I'm sure you can tell what he wants to say or how he feels.
You know, it was really tough the first day. It was really, really hard because he was not as coherent, you know, and he was in and out of consciousness. So not knowing if he could hear you really or if he could understand. Second, third day here, he's actually been able to communicate much better. He's actually was able to write. So he started writing. So we got him some paper and pen. He was writing, you know, messages to us. And then today, they actually took the wires out of his mouth. They unwired his mouth because they're in preparation of a surgery on Tuesday. They took these wires out of his mouth, and, you know, he can't open his mouth that far, but he can actually, now he can actually, you know, mouth some words.
When you saw him for the first time after 4 hours between when you got the news and then, what's it like for a father to walk into that room?
You know, surprisingly, Mike, I after thinking the worst of the worst for all that time, when I walked in the room, I was shocked, but I was also surprised that, you know, it wasn't worse than, you know,
yep,
what I was actually seeing. Mm-hmm. So it was a relief. It was a lot of emotions. It was a relief to see him, that he was actually alive and he was breathing, and I could see, you know, he had life in his body and he had movement. And, you know, he had all of his limbs were there. It was good. That was good to see.
Today, the outpouring of support, what was that like to have an event like that today and to see the people, maybe some that you knew and I'm sure some that you didn't know that know him?
Yeah, the event today at Hope Breakfast Bar, and Brian Ingram hosted, and it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. He is such a giver. Brian, that is such a giver. He has such a heart for helping people, and he orchestrated and put this whole event together, you know, with the hopes of, you know, having people come there. He was donated the proceeds to Justin, and it was amazing. I had no idea what we were walking into. It was a ton of chefs that were there, local chefs that had showed up, as well as you know, other folks. Mayor Carter was there. He spoke, had a very eloquent speech that he gave, you know, about Justin, his relationship, and the things that Justin has done for, you know, people in the community, and especially the community of St. Paul. So it was amazing.
Hmm. How does that make you feel as a dad when you've seen all that?
Well, you know, it's very proud.
Yeah.
Very proud that, you know, that he has had that kind of impact on so many people, that so many people speak about his heart, so many people speak about his generosity, so many people speak about, you know, him just being there for them and supporting them during their tough times and during their, you know, life's work in, you know, in the industry, the restaurant industry. So that was pretty amazing.
When you think about, Gary, the propeller of a big boat and a big motor, and how close it is to being worse than it is today as we speak, is there a great sense of gratefulness as well? Because you know the math on that and how much more devastating it could have been.
Yes. You know, gratitude is something that I have lived a life of.
Yep.
I have always been very grateful for my life, for my everything that I've experienced. And, you know, the gratitude I had that my son's life was spared, you know, topped any gratitude that I've ever experienced.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet you just look at him in that bed and I'll bet you just well up with tears. Cause I mean, I know it's true for all of your children, but that's your guy, right? I mean, that's him.
That's him. Yep. That is my guy. And it is definitely tough every time I see him, but it's tears of joy that he is alive and that he is going to make a recovery, and he will be back doing the things that he loves. He'll be back in the kitchens. He will be back on his television shows. You know, he'll be back, you know, supporting the organizations that he supports and the charities that he supports. And, you know, we'll continue to build, you know, our foundation that, you know, that we've established, you know, as a family, you know, to support, you know, others. So it'll be great. It'll be great when he's back at it.
Gary Sutherland, I look forward to when you and I can sit in your office out there and talk about things unimportant, like, you know, who's going to transfer to what school and who's got the top AAU program, because that doesn't seem real important right now, and those are usually the things that you and I are talking about. Thank you so much, and thank you for delivering good news to us, and send our thoughts and prayers to Justin. Let him know he's got a lot of people behind him.
Mike, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on, and look forward to us catching up soon.
I appreciate you, sir. Thanks. Gary Sutherland, nice enough to go on the radio with us. I mean, those 4 hours between when you get the news and when you don't know what you're going to see when you walk through the door at the hospital, I just can't imagine how horrific that can be. And some of you have probably experienced it, and all of us have thought through it, what would that be like? Kerry Sutherland, able to shed some light and do it eloquently, right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. The Twins take on Texas tomorrow right here. Sonny Gravely pitches for the Twins. He was just okay his last outing. Joe Ryan was, you know, they needed more innings out of him yesterday because this bullpen, you just don't know what you're going to get. But at the end of the day, if you're 5.5 up on Cleveland right now, and it's July 8th, you're liking your chances. That's a lot Cleveland has to overcome to get to you. And they got to beat you a lot of times straight up, and they've already played enough times that, yeah, they've gotten the better of the Twins, but not enough. They haven't dominated the series enough. So it puts them in a pretty good place right now. You make a couple deals for a couple of bullpen arms, and you are where you want to be. And bullpen arms, by the way, are the easiest to find in the trade market because it's easy to identify who has players that can't help them in the bullpen. So you take the losing teams that have good closers. Well, how much value is a closer to a losing team that's not going to the playoffs? So you take that guy and you get a couple of them, and one becomes your eighth inning guy or your seventh inning guy, and the other one becomes your ninth inning guy, and you got it. But they're not those deals are not that hard to come by because those guys, the teams don't have a need for them anymore once they're out of the pennant race. And so they're looking to move guys like that. They're looking to move those flamethrowers because they've got enough of them. You know, you get a Sergio Romo for a good couple of months, something like that. And so I think that the Twins will be able to pull something off, and I don't think they'll have to give up that much. I don't know what the market value would be on a guy like Miguel Sano coming back with an option year after. Does that make him kind of a good somebody to dangle out there? And if he hits, great. If he doesn't, let him go. I don't know. But I guarantee you there'll be a couple more arms in the bullpen sooner than later. That much I know. When we come back, Leo Lewis, the former Minnesota Viking, amongst the questions I have for him is something we don't talk much about. How do we keep kids from the inner city occupied in the summertime? We talked about school going long and all that stuff this year for them in the city. How do we keep them occupied with productive things? If they don't have a job, if they're too young to work, all those things, how do we make sure that they do the right thing every day? How do we make sure that they're getting it done? Leo Lewis and much more straight ahead in the 8 o'clock hour on Sports to the Max.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.